Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine. God has been speaking to me. I have been walking with God in the cool of the day. Is that cool? Hallelujah. And can I just say this to you? He wants to walk with you in the cool of the day. Every day, all day long, He'll begin to start speaking to you. You'll begin to hear those little trigger things. You'll hear Him saying things to you. And that's nice. Because I will say this to you. Listen, God is moving on His body. He's constantly speaking. This is no time to quit reading your Bible. This is no time to quit praying. This is no time to quit speaking the things of God to your children and to those around you. This is no time to stop, because God is saying, I'm getting ready to do something that you've been waiting for, that you've been praying for. We talked a little bit about it last week. Hallelujah. And it says, you know, we prayed the Lord's Prayer, and I was listening to it, and I said, man, I forgot some parts in that prayer. You guys, how many of you guys remember me forgetting some pieces? Pastor John, look at right away. Come on, man. He says, I'm going to have to take you to school. And there I've done. Hallelujah. I go, oop, forgot something. But we've been praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And folks, I believe that we are in a critical time for the body of Christ. I believe that God is saying, now's the time. Now's the time. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Because God is doing things in the earth, and He wants to use each and every one of you to do it. No one in the building here is exempt from this. It is something that God is doing. He is orchestrating it. It's not me orchestrating it. Not Brother Steve over here, or Brother or Dave, Brother Terry. It's not us orchestrating. It is God orchestrating these things in the earth today, folks. Today's the hour, I believe it is. Last week I talked a little bit about what did I talk about? Last week I talked a little bit about flow. Talked a little bit about how the kingdom of God does not operate in the structure of men. You guys know that. It just does not operate the way we operate on the earth. The kingdom of God is a totally different kingdom. And a lot of times what we try to do is fit the way we see things in the earth, try to fit that to the kingdom of God, and we get into trouble that way. Can you say amen to that? Can I tell you that that causes so much division in the body of Christ, and it has been for so long? Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Because we're trying to do it on our own, the way we know it, the way we see the structures around us, and we're trying to do it that way, and God's saying, my ways, really, folks, my ways really are higher than your ways. And, you know, I get kind of a kick out of it. Why would God say that His ways are higher than His ways and His thoughts are higher than His ways? Unless He wanted us to get to those ways. He wouldn't tease us about it. Is He throwing something in? Well, is it something for you to say, well, His ways are higher than my ways? His thoughts are higher than my want. Why should I even think about it? Why should I even walk in it? Because His ways are different than mine. So, no, God's not, He's not doing it to cause you to get discouraged. He wants you to hear His way. He wants you to know His thoughts. That's why He tells us that. I think a little different than you. How many of you have found that out so far? How many of you found that out, that God thinks a little bit different than you are? How many of you found out that maybe God does have a better plan than you? How many of you found that out? Yeah, anybody in the house? Yeah, come on, man. Because I will tell you, God has a better plan. He really is. This was not my plan. This was His plan. Pastor John was just talking to me this morning. He goes, here it is. Here we are, man. Yeah. And when I look across the room from over here, it looks like there's a whole bunch of you, and there is a whole bunch of you. Beautiful people. How many say amen? Look at your neighbor and say, you're beautiful. Yeah. You're God's child. You look and He says, man, can you believe what God has done? And this is totally what God has done. It's not anything that I can, we can't, you can't figure these kind of things out on your own. God does these things. And I asked God, why? Why us? Why me? Why me in a bowling alley? Golly. Come on, God. What are you doing to me? Why me, God? Pastor Pat said something to me this morning. He said, did you see the movie Sonador? How many people saw the movie Sonador? It's about a horse, a racehorse. A little girl says, they couldn't afford to put it in the race. And then she says, well, why not us? Why can't we do it? Oh, man. You talk about, it costs a lot of money to race a horse in a horse race, in those big races. Sonador won, I'm not sure what year it was. Triple crown winner, I believe it was. Hallelujah. Why us, Lord? And you know what the Lord said to me? Because you said to me, Henry, that you will do anything that I ask you to do. Oh, yeah, I said that, didn't I? Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't know about this. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes, even right now, so there's God's got things within you that he wants to do with you and through you. Do you know that? That if he showed it to you, you say, not for me. How many of you know that? Because we think in a lot different plane than God does. Do you understand that? God has a different way of doing things. He's got plans that you don't even know of. How many are going to say amen to that? Some of you are trying to figure out your own way. My word to you this morning is stop and ask God for his way. God, you got to show me what you want. I belong to you, Lord. What do you want? It's not what I want. It's what you want, Lord. You know what that's called? Take up your cross. Follow me. That's what that's called. It's not about you. Everybody, look at your neighbor and tell them that. It's not about you, bro. The thing is, we say that to one another, that right? It's not about you. But when God begins to move in your life and he begins to instruct you in where he wants you to go, all of a sudden it becomes all about you. It becomes about you and God and what God wants to do through you. Ooh, man, hallelujah. God has got some great things for us. So last week we talked about how the kingdom of God does not operate in structures of men. It just doesn't. The things that we know as far as how things should run in this world, I mean, some of those things we need to just say, okay, put them off to the side and say, Lord, how do you want to do this? And when God began to speak these scriptures, and began to speak this word to me, I began to kind of sense the reason why this church is here. I began to sense the reason why he told me, he says, Henry, I will send people and then I will send. I go, are you stuttering? You'll send and you'll send. And then I was in an airport and I heard a word because God had told me this is going to be a hub of the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the hubs, not the hub, a hub. Is that okay? That God was going to send people in for whatever reason and then he was going to send them out. And I don't know if this... I'm not sure if this message right here that you heard a little bit of it last week, and then you can hear a little bit about it this week, and the way things are going in my heart with God, I think it's going to be another week and another week and another week, because God is implementing the kingdom of God the way he wants it in the earth. Is that okay with you? Is it okay with you? Hallelujah. So I would advise you today not to pay too much attention to what I'm telling you, but listen to the word of God. Go home and look at these things. And before you say that, he hit his head too hard when he jumped. Jumped too high, hit his head in the beam. Huh. You need to check these things out, folks. Can I just say that to you? We need to be people that will go into the word and see if these things be so, as it says in the word. I'm going to see what this is. I'm going to see if this is right. I'm going to go tell that preacher he's wrong, wrong, wrong. Praise God. Let's do it, man. Come on, man. Because I will say, folks, I go after, I have a job to do. Is that okay? You guys okay with that? My job is to see what God is saying to the house, to each and every one of you, and then say it, period. Not to make up my own stuff. Even though I do sometimes, don't I? My job is to say what God is saying to the church. That's who I am. A mouthpiece for God. Is that okay? Pastor Pat's job, mouthpiece for God. Pastor John's job, mouthpiece for God. Pastor Stella's job, mouthpiece for God. Pastor Rosie's job, mouthpiece for God. Pastor Carrie's job, a mouthpiece for God. Terry's job, a mouthpiece for God. Hank's job is a mouthpiece for God. Chris's job, Dave's job, each and every one of you. Say your name real quick. You're a mouthpiece for God. Is that right? Do you know that? Because we are in a time when God is after the lost, and he's desiring to use the kingdom of God to bring them in, to expose it. When Jesus walked the earth, do you know how much he exposed the kingdom? He exposed it like crazy. People would come for miles just to bring their sick loved ones to him so that they might be healed. Isn't that crazy? Because there was an exposure of the kingdom of God and how it operates. Nothing like the Pharisees, the Sadducees, Caesar, the Roman Empire. Nothing like them at all. It was all different. It was all according to what God had planned. And folks, and that's what we're about. That's what the church in the earth today is about. It's got to be according to the word. It's got to be according to what God has planned. Hallelujah. Do you realize how honored you are to be alive at this time? Because God says, I'm going to use you. You're going to walk into a Safeway, smile at somebody. They're going to smile back, and all of a sudden an anointing is going to come on you. And then you're going to speak to a heart. You're going to heal the sick. You're going to cleanse lepers. Has anybody seen a leper now? Hallelujah. You're going to free people because of the anointing that comes through you and out into the earth, folks. God is saying, I'm preparing for a flow, a flood that's never been seen in the earth. And it's the body of Christ doing. A few years ago, Billy Graham passed away. Was that last year? Last year. The Lord said something to me. He says, I'm not using these mega ministries like I used to. My anointing is going to go upon my people. They are going to be used in the earth because it's my plan and not theirs. Do you realize that if you just opened your mouth and said something, you could heal the sick, you could, man, for some reason, I want to keep saying cleanse the lepers. Let's just say a leper is anybody walking in sin. Is that okay? And you speak to them and they decide that something about the anointing that's in within you flowing out to them causes them to have a decision and say, you know what? I've been living wrong. Hallelujah. Part of this thing about the way God thinks about it is that sometimes we think that we have to convince people. Can I tell you, folks, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. You allow that anointing in your life. You allow it to flow in your life. I mean, hey, speak to your dog in the name of Jesus. Preach to it. Preach to him, her, whatever. Preach to your cat. Preach to your parakeet. Tell it to shut up. Shut up. Shut up. I'm preaching. I said, shut up. Preach it and allow. You allow that anointing to begin to flow through you. One of the things I used to do, I used to tell some of the guys, some of my youth group, I said, look, this is what I do. I go home, nobody's around, because I feel funny when somebody's around. I just go around, I'll get my Bible out, and I'll just start reading the scriptures. And when I think about another scripture, I just shut my Bible and go from that. And it happens almost every time. God gives another scripture and another scripture and another scripture. You see, it's a flow that begins to happen in your life. And before you know it, you're running around your house jumping. Oh, that was me. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but man, I said, praise God. Hallelujah. Man, all you sinners, you need to hear this. Praise God. Hallelujah. Run around the house because God opens a flow. How many of you are doing this already? Some of you are doing it. I know you are. I know you are. Well, one of the things I asked God when he began to show this to me, he said, Henry, I'm preparing my structure. I'm preparing my body to operate the way I want it to operate. I said, okay. So you need to speak to the body. Okay. Lord, I got a question. Wait a minute, Lord. I said, man, I've got a few questions, because when I began to speak about, even last week, let me just say this to you. I will not speak on something unless God has been talking to me about it. Is that okay with you? I will not step into something unless I've experienced it. Is that okay with you? There has to be an experience so you can experience things, so that you can actually begin to speak from the experience side of things. Is that all right? It's one thing to tell some, hey, man, you know, hey, that plane, you just go this way and you go that way, and you go pull it back and it goes up, push it forward and it goes down. I could say that. But unless I've ever flown a plane, come on. And so that's why it's important for us to experience God and then speak from that platform. Is that okay? You guys understand what I'm saying? So that I'm saying, God, now wait a minute, God. I know that you are saying that God, that your kingdom does not work in the structure of men. And you're saying that your kingdom operates in flow. And I said, but did not Jethro go to Moses and set up a structure for Moses? Did he not do that? And the Lord said he did. I want to go to that in the scriptures this morning. There's a lot of reading, folk, in this thing, but I'm going to ask you, just please bear with me, because God is speaking to the house. He's speaking to every one of us, because he is setting up his kingdom in the earth today. And he's saying it's important that you understand how it operates. It does not operate in a hierarchy, except for that we have Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and then the ministers of God in the earth. Is that okay with you? Hallelujah. The pastor's not over the evangelist. The evangelist not over the teacher. The teacher is not over, because it is the same spirit that dwells in us. Is that okay? So if it's the same spirit that dwells in it, how can one be above the other? How can that work? You got to understand that in order for this kingdom to work. Because it's not by might. It's not by power. That's our power verse. But it's by his spirit. Hallelujah. So we got to understand that. So we are so accustomed to operating in the world kingdom. There's got to be the hierarchy. There's got to be the president. There's got to be all of it. I don't like the president, so I'm going to go to the vice president. I don't like the vice president, so I'm going to go to the secretary of state. Whatever. We're so used to that. And God's saying, my kingdom does not operate that way. My kingdom operates by my spirit. Hallelujah. Is that okay? Are you guys okay with that? If you agree with that, say amen. If you don't, that's okay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if you will, hallelujah. Today's message is the same as last week's message. The title of it is called Thy Kingdom Come. How many agree with that? God, bring your kingdom into the earth. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 18. Father, I thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, I'm asking you, Lord, that you would help me. Help me, Lord, to bring this to your people the way you've been speaking it to me. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that your word is true. I thank you, Lord, that we can trust your word. So, Father, as we look into your word, God, I ask you, Lord, that you would quicken us. Allow us to hear the things you want us to hear and see the things you want us to see, so that we might be that which you have designed, Father. We thank you for it. We praise you. If you agree, say amen. Amen. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I've been an alien in a strange land. That's why Moses called his son Gershom, because he was an alien when he went to Midian. And the name of the other was Eleazar, for the God of my father said he was my help, Eleazar, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses under the wilderness where he encamped at the Mount of God. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law, Jethro, am come to thee, and thy wife, and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and did obeisance, and kissed them. And they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh, and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. Can I say that to you this morning? Blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. Who's the Egyptians today? It's the world. He's delivered you out of the hand of the world to operate in his kingdom. Is that okay? It's cool. All right. He's delivered you from the Egyptians. And now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. For in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses, father-in-law, before God. And it came to pass on the morning that on tomorrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. It was you know, Moses got friends over for Thanksgiving. Is that right? He's got his father-in-law. Just kidding. And anyway, but the next morning, got to get up. Time to go to work. So Moses was judging the people. Is that okay? All right. So it came to pass on the morning that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning to the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that you doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning to evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said to him, The thing that you do is not good. Here's Moses being talked to by his father-in-law. Hey, what you're doing? Not good. What? Yeah, I'm helping these folks, man. I'm telling them the law. I'm explaining the law to them. He goes, yeah, what you're doing is not good. How do you like that when people tell you that? What you're doing is not good. Hallelujah. I've been on that quite a bit. I've had the Lord tell me what you're doing is not good. Anybody? None of you, huh? Yeah, come on, man. Praise God. None of you. God's never told you you're doing something wrong, huh? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Liars. In the house of God? No, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. God comes to him and tells him you're doing something wrong. Is that right? Here Jethro is telling you what you're doing is wrong. It's not good. Thou will surely wear away. I want you to take note of that. This is what Jethro is saying. You are going to wear away both you and this people that is with you. For this thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to perform it yourself. I want you to take note. I want you to make sure that you understand that this is not God speaking to Moses. This is a man speaking to Moses. He says, this is too big for you. Had Moses been experiencing something different, Moses could not deliver the children of Israel out of the hand of the Egyptians. Is that right? He couldn't do it on his own. He didn't do it. God did it. And now here's a man telling him, hey, you can't do this on your own. And it's good advice. I mean, he's trying to give him some advice. You guys okay with people giving advice? It's okay. It's all right. But folks, we've got to be careful about that. Can I just say that everybody wants to give advice? Is that right? I can tell you how to, let me tell you. I can tell you, Dave, I can tell you how to lift weights. I can tell you how to run a marathon. Sorta. Because I probably just don't know enough about it. But everybody wants to give advice, is that right? Man, look at the way they do that. If that was me, I'd do it somewhere different. Why don't you go tell them? Nah, leave them alone. Come on, man. I might end up doing it. Hallelujah. Okay. You will surely wear away both you and this people that is with you, for this thing is too heavy for you. Thou art not able to perform it yourself. Listen now to my voice, and I'll give you counsel, and God shall be with you. Was God with Moses or not? He was already with him. Is that right? Sometimes we lose sight of that. Is that right? Folks, I'm going to tell you, God's with you. Is that okay? Can I say that to you? God is with you. He really is. And he's there to help you. He's there to strengthen you. He's here to build us into what he has for us. Is that okay? Hallelujah. He said, hear now my voice. I will give you counsel. God shall be, and God will be with you. Be thou for the people toward God, that you may bring the causes unto God. And you shall teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. Moses is already doing that. He says, yeah, okay, I like that. He says, moreover, you shall provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Now, I want you to notice that this man, Jethro, is telling Moses, this is the way you need to do this out here because it's too much for you. And I really believe that Jethro's heart was towards Moses to help him. He was trying to get him to say, you know what? This is too much work for you, bro. It's heavy. These people, they're gonna wear you out. So here, this is what you need to do. Set up this, if you will, like we've been talking about, a structure. Build this structure. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they bring unto you, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with you. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure all this people, and shall go to their and shall also go to their place in peace. Jethro is telling Moses, this is what you need to do in order to keep these people under control. I laugh at that. Can I tell you that we really can't keep people under control? Is that right? Can I say that? How many of you can keep your kids under control just for a little bit and all of a sudden they're off and running? Is that right? Can I say, it just shows up. It's not as easy. And Jethro's telling me, all you got to do is do this, and it's going to keep, and it's going to take care of things. Can I tell you that Moses is probably saying, man, you're right. I wish I would have thought of that. Do you think if God would have had that for him, he would have given it to him? See, folks, sometimes we do it on our own strength or do it because we're focusing on what's going on in our lives. We really don't see what God is trying to do for us. So we'll try to make a way around or try to make say, well, I'm going to do this. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. God is saying to the body of Christ, it's time for you to let me handle things. Is that okay? How many of you say, yeah, I'm going to let God handle things in my life. I'm going to let him handle these things. I can't change your heart. Can you change hearts? Then why do you talk so hard like you can? Never mind. Some of you say, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Some of you say, man. Verse 26, and they judged the people at all season, the hard cases they brought to Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way to his own land. Now that right there is the reason I said, Lord, okay, this is what you set up with Moses. Kind of what, and it was very clear that the Lord said to me, he said, I didn't set that up, Henry. Man set that up. Moses and Jethro, his father-in-law, figured out this is the right thing to do. They didn't even ask me about it. Is that okay? Can you guys say okay to that? Do you see where they asked God about it? It just says that, and they set it up that way, and that's what they did. And then Moses said, well, see you later, pops. And he went on. This was a structure that was set up, and this was the structure that I asked God about. I said, God, well, I don't get it. You're trying to say that we don't need this structure, and yet you're telling me we don't need this structure, and yet I see it in the scriptures, how it happened and how it was working with Moses. And he caught me there. And he goes, go to this. Let me show you something, Henry. And don't you just love it when God opens things up to you? See, God, when God showed me this thing a few weeks ago, it took a whole load off of me, because I understand how we think. Even I have those thoughts saying, we can't do this like this. But I'm going to tell you something. The Spirit of God can lead his people. That's why it says in scriptures, be led of the Spirit. Is that right? That's why. And it's time that we put down what we want and allow the Spirit to lead us. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Check out this. Check out the answer God gave me about this. I want you to go to Numbers chapter 11. And we'll kind of break this down a little bit, because this is really an interesting story. But and I told the folks this morning, I'm going to do a lot of reading today. So I'm going to have you stand up right now. Can I get everybody stand up? Shake two persons' hands and then sit back down and say, praise the Lord when you sit down. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because I am determined to let you hear this message this morning. Praise God. I don't hear him anymore. Praise God. When you sit down, you got to say, praise God. Praise God. Did anybody hear that? Come on. Listen up, folks. Hallelujah. I'm determined to chase off the Sandman. Mr. Sandman, come on, hallelujah. Come on, bro, hallelujah. I want you to listen to this. I really do. Chapter 11, verse 1 says, and when the people complained, what? You mean people complain? Come on, man. It displeased the Lord. Is God happy with people that complain? Stop complaining, Henry, come on. You know what Rosie says? I thank my pastor that came down a month ago, I think it was. And he said something like this, murmur, murmur, murmur. Remember that? Do you guys remember that? I was saying something the other day, and Rosie walked by me, murmur, murmur, murmur. Shut up. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Can I tell you, God is not into complainers. Oh, he'll let you complain. Is that right? But what he has for you that he's handing to you, okay, he'll set it down, walk off, let you complain. Come on, say, stop complaining. Let's not be complainers. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, and it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried to Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire quenched. Come on, man. When times are going bad, now you know where to go. Is that right? Moses, we need help. There's a fire out here, man, and it's consuming people. And it's because they murmured. Is that right? That's what the Word of God says. They were murmuring. And God started a fire. Hallelujah. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. Verse 4 says, the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? This thing right now is caused by their bellies. Is that right? How many know the kingdom of God is not in meat or drink? But it is, the kingdom of God is in righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Ghost. Do you know that? Do you know that? It's not, I'm going to say that again. The kingdom of God is not in meat or drink, but it's in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You see, the righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, those are spiritual things. The kingdom of God is not in the fleshly things like food and drink, like sacrifices to animals, and that's not that way. It is in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. There's no room for complaining in that kingdom. Do you know that? Do you understand that? Come on, man. Everybody say amen. Yeah, come on. No room, no room. Hallelujah. This is what they said. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. Cucumbers. How many like cucumbers? Yeah, okay. Melons. How many like melons? We got some melons over here. You want some melons? Have some melons. Hallelujah. And the leeks. I don't even know what a leek is, Brother Ed. What's a leek? Is that like an onion?
Big onion.
Big onion. Okay. All right. Come on. Hallelujah. And the onions. Now it's not a big. Okay. It's a big onion. And onions. Okay. And garlic. How many like garlic? Come on, man. Put some garlic in there. Give it some food. Give it some flavor. These are folks that are complaining. But now our soul is dried away. Oh, really? There is nothing at all beside this, what? Manna. You guys remember that song where he said we had manna bread, manna pancakes? What? I don't know. Everything was made out of manna for these folks. There's nothing left at all because beside this manna before our eyes, the manna was coriander seed, was as coriander seed, and the color thereof, the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. Praise God. Motor oil. But folks, hey, these guys, God was feeding them. God was giving them drink. Is that right? And yet they're complaining. But they've been getting the steady diet. How many of you get tired of hot dogs every night? Is that right? Brother Ed, you get tired of bologna sandwiches? Come on, man. He told me, he said he got home the other day. He said, man, hey, make me something to eat. I'm tired of them bologna sandwiches. I mean, hallelujah. After so long, you get kind of tired. This doesn't taste like the first time you ate it, you know? It says, and when the dew fell upon the camp at night, manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses knew, oh man, we're in trouble now. They're all complaining about the food. And Moses also was displeased. And Moses said to the Lord, now listen to this. I want you to remember what the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law had said. If you do this, you will not have any problem with these people. Is that what he said? Isn't that what he said? Check out what happens here. Moses said to the Lord, wherefore have you afflicted my dear servant? God, why are you beating me up? Wherefore have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of all this people upon me? Is that right? Why are you doing this to me, God? Have I conceived all this? Are these my kids? Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom? I want to tell you, I think Moses is on that. He's got his last nerve exposed, right? And all the children of Israel are jumping around on it. Is that correct? He's not in a good place, is he? He's begun to complain to the Lord. Have I conceived this people? Have I begotten them that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom, as a nursing father bears the sucking child, unto the land which you swear unto their fathers, whence should I have flesh to give all this people? Where am I going to get food for these folks? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone because it's too heavy for me. Remember, he had quite a few people that his father-in-law had helped him to set up. Is it working? It's not working. Hallelujah. Can I just say this to you? It just doesn't work. There's only one thing that works, and you're going to see that here. If you deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in your sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. Moses knows that he is complaining before God about everything that's happened, everything that's going on. He knows it. And he goes, you know what, God? Just kill me now. Just kill me. He would say, I want out. How many know that? How many have gotten to that point where you say, you know what? I'm done. I'm tired of this. Just kill me. And folks, the structure that had been set up by Moses and his father-in-law, you don't even see it operating here. Is that right? Not even operating. Part of that structure is probably part of the ones calling and saying, hey, man, we want food. Give him a text. Tell him I want a hamburger this weekend. Tell him. This manna's not doing it for us. This bread from heaven, tired of it. Can't have it anymore. And Moses got a whole different thing going on. I'm tired of you guys complaining. I'm tired of this. I want out. Kill me, God. Let me out. Hallelujah. So now we got two things God's about ready to deal with. Is that right? There's two things going on here. Number one, these folks want to eat. Number two, Moses wants out. He says, I can't do this. It's too heavy for me. What I want you to see is what God sets up. Okay? I want you to see this because this is the way God does things. And the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you knowest to be the elders of the people, officers over them, and bring them to the tabernacle of the congregation that they may stand there with thee. Here now God's taken over. He says, okay, bring them here. I'm going to show you what to do. He says, I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon you, and I will put it upon who? Do you see that God takes His Spirit and distributes it the way He wants to? Do you understand that? This is the way God's kingdom works. It will work by my Spirit that's upon you. Okay, he said, Moses, bring them up here. I'm going to take the Spirit of you that's upon you, and I'm going to distribute among your guys. That's how this is going to get worked. Now, Jethro's not around. Moses might say, well, God, we already did that. We're already. He said, no, we're doing something different. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And this is what he says. Gather these 70, and gather me the 70 men of Israel, whom you knowest to be elders of the people, and the officers over them, and bring them into the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon you, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee. Is it a different story now? It is. It really is. Because it's not men, it's the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That you may bear it not by yourself alone. And say you to the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. Moses is still in the room. He's still in the sanctuary talking to God. And God tells him, say to the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh. For you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore, the Lord will give you flesh, and you will eat. You're going to find out. I love this. He says, oh, he's going to give you flesh. And buddy, you're going to eat it. Your mom's ever been like that? You eat them. You're going to eat that. Yeah. You will eat this. Is that right? And this is what God is saying, you know what? I'm going to give them flesh, and they're going to eat it. God is speaking to Moses. Okay, this is what I want you to do, Moses, for us concerning the burden. And concerning the food, tell them to get ready, because they're going to eat. They're getting ready to eat. God's getting ready to do a little stuffing. Hallelujah. He says that you shall not eat 1 day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month until it come out of your nostrils, and it be loathsome to you, because that you have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? God's a little bit hot. He says, you don't like my food? I'll give you what you want. Folks, can I tell you, we really don't need what we want. We need what he wants. Is that right? But notice this, that God is still speaking to Moses. Moses still hasn't come out of the presence of the Lord to go speak to the people. So Moses got something else going on. He goes, and here he comes, and he says, and Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat for a whole month. I like this. Moses telling God, this is how many people I got. And you're going to feed them for a month? Come on, God. Don't you know they're going to? Moses is telling God, Moses is giving God the information, what God needs to know about the people that are out there. I think that's not too smart. I think it's time to shut up. But here he goes. He says, man, you're gonna have them eat a whole month of this. He says, shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? God, what are you going to do, God? How are you going to do? I love it. And the Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. I love it. God is telling, hey, man, you think I can't do it? Just wait. Tomorrow you're going to see that my word will come to pass for you. Whatever I've told you, Moses, is the truth. Can I tell you can trust God? Can I tell you that he is a provider for your needs? Can I tell you that if you will, I mean, yeah, you can. Well, God, how are you going to do it? Part of my, of the flow that I'm looking at, my well is leaking. How many of you guys know a leaking well is not a good thing? The pipe on my well coming up, I'm up out there standing. I go, man, this thing should be blowing bubbles. I mean, it should be doing something. So I call the well guy. He comes out and he goes, yep. So what's up? Go pull the well. Oh, man. I said, what's going on? You got a hole down there. Can't you hear it? You can hear this. The water's not going where it needs to be going. It's going out some leak down there. And so one of these days we're going to get this pulled. I'm not sure when he's, I mean, I'm waiting on him. But I said, but God knows about my well. God knows it. This morning I turned on the water. I go, man, we got all sorts of pressure today. My well's working good. I don't know what's going on out there. But God knows about my well. I could tell him, God, how are you going to do this? How are you going to make it happen, God? God, and he says this, do you not know? He says, listen, this is what he says. Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto you or not. God is always wanting you to see that his things that he's told you will come to pass. Verse 24 says, Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him and took of the spirit that was upon him and gave it to the 70 elders. Check this out. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. Is that right? Is that what it said? They prophesied. Do you understand how important it is for you by the Spirit of the Lord to prophesy? If you don't understand that, I'm going to tell you this morning, it's very important. It's very important that you speak to your children and say, you're a man of God. You're a woman of God. That's why these little guys, I'm always telling them, you're a man of God. Give me a man hand slap, man. You're a man of God, man. Give me five, man. That's it, man. Give me a man. All right. You don't realize how important it is for you to prophesy into life, in the lives of those that are around you. You will not die. Try that one out. You will not die, but live. That's the word of the Lord. You will not die. You will live. Prophesy. And these guys, Moses 70 that he took, was supposed to take, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, and they began to prophesy. Can I tell you, God does things different. Did God tell Moses they were going to prophesy? No. He just said, I'm going to put my Spirit upon them. And as soon as that Spirit came upon them, prophesy. They began to speak. And look how long they spoke, I guess I should say. It came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, and they did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the other one was Medad, and the Spirit rested upon them. Here are these two guys. They didn't want to go. They went and called the 70 elders. These two guys, there were only 68 over there. These two guys said, I ain't going. I'm tired of the manna. I'm tired of the Moses. I'm tired of this whole deal. I ain't going. But those two guys were yet elders of Israel. And the word of God says that the Spirit came upon them. The Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, and went not out of the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And they ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My Lord Moses, forbid them. And look what Moses says. Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Can you see that Moses has changed here? It's no more, God, just kill me, get me out of this. His focus left who he was, and he began to refocus on the people. And he says, Moses said, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. All the people is what Moses said. Can I tell you today that God not only wants to place his Spirit upon you, but he also wants to dwell in you. Hallelujah. That you might prophesy the things that he has for you to say in the earth and to the people that are around you. And he says, And Moses got him up from the camp and the elders of Israel, and there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp, and as it were a day's journey on this side and were a day's journey on the other side. That's a lot of quail, is that right? Just laying on the ground. But no, they weren't just laying on the ground. It says they were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. 2 cubits is about 3 feet. Is that 3 feet? A day's journey away from the camp on one side, and a day's journey away from the camp on the other side, 3 foot deep. Can I tell you what? That's a lot of fowl. That's a lot of birds. Is that right? That's a lot of birds. And the people stood up all that day and all that night, the next day, and they gathered the quails. Ooh, hallelujah. We got quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 omers, and they spread them abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kibrothahapa, whatever. Because there they buried the people that lusted, and the people journeyed from Kibrothahapa to Havaz. Anyway, praise God. Anyway, hallelujah. Can I just say this? Hey, can I say that God operates in a different way? Is that right? Can I just say that it has always been that God wants to operate in your heart. He wants to lead you by his Spirit. It's always been that way. His structure, the structure of the kingdom of God, is for him to be speaking to you personally. Can I just say this to you? You don't need me to be speaking to you every day. Is that cool? Can I say that God can talk to you every day, every minute of the hour, if you will let him? You know, he is wanting to do that with you. I have found that God speaks a lot. How many know that? How many hear him a lot? He does. He speaks a lot. He'll say things to you. He'll talk to you. And he'll bring things to you. But the thing is, it's all got to be done by your Spirit. By his Spirit. Let's go to John chapter 3 very quickly. Because I am talking to you about how God's kingdom operates. It operates by his Spirit. Hallelujah. This kingdom that we're getting ready to step into, folks, that God is bringing into the earth, it's operating very differently. And it operates because you get up in the morning. You had a dream last night. You had to go over to your neighbor's house. You get up and you go over there and you go to your neighbor's house and they needed something. You take them to the hospital and you have things. It's because God is going to be doing things in a different way with you personally. Just because I go to church every Sunday. And this sounds really weird. It really does sound weird because it doesn't match what we've been hearing. Do you know that you don't have to be in church every Sunday? Are you guys okay with that, for me to say that to you? Is it okay that I say that to you folks? You don't have to be here every day, every Sunday. You got folks, you got friends, you got somebody. You can go help somebody. Brother Reuben, you know what he's doing right now? He's on a baseball field. He plays baseball every Sunday. But he's a minister. And he talks to those guys about, because they're always, you know, he's in the over 60s group. And so they're always going, oh, I can't run to the first base, you know, or whatever. And he goes, man, the fact of the matter is, your fellowship with God is not hinged on how much you punch the clock here. Is that okay? It is between you and him. Oh, don't get me wrong. I want you here. Don't get me wrong. I you know what? There's a reason why we come. But it's, I mean, if you come to me and say, hey, man, I can't make it to church this Sunday, praise God, that's fine. It's okay. I can't make it to Bible study this weekend. It's okay. It's okay. I will not try to put anything that's heavy. I will not try to, I'm not into pressing people. Do you get that? How many have been oppressed in a church where you got to be everywhere every time? It has to be that way. I've been in a church that way, and it doesn't work very well. But God is changing things. He says, it's not by might, not by power, by my spirit. If you get up in the morning, the Holy Spirit says, I want you to get up early. I want you to go down to the house of the Lord, and I want you to pray before service. You better do that. Is that right? Because we are to be led by the Spirit of God. That's what God has told us. John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. I want you to just look at this real quick. And I'll let you go. I'm not sure. Oh, Lord. John chapter 3 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that's the scripture I wanted you to listen to. Unless you're born again, you really cannot see this kingdom. But once you're born again, you're going to find that this kingdom is very much real and alive. You must be born again, is what Jesus tells Nicodemus. This is just one, this is a truth that has to be looked at. And I know there's people out there that say, oh, you're one of those born again Christians. Yeah, I am. I'm born again. I live by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God lives in me. I died on a cross 2,000 years ago. You weren't even born there, yeah. But the sins that I committed were placed on that cross 2,000 years ago. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. How many of you look at your neighbor and say, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? You are not just a sinner. You are not a sinner. Jesus paid a price for you. You are in the kingdom of God if you believe that Jesus' blood washed your sins away. You're in. Hallelujah. And then he says this. The Nicodemus says this. He goes, how can this be? How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? Again, once again, looking at the way the things of the structure of the world around us and applying it to the kingdom. And Jesus says, no. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say to you, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to you that you must be born again. And then he says this, the wind blows where it lists, and you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell whence it cometh and where it going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Do you hear that? Do you see that? Everyone that's born of the Spirit. There is something God is talking to us about. And this is a set. God is talking about a flow. There is the Holy Spirit is a flow. Can I tell you that wind is a flow? Is that right? When there's a wind, can you feel that? Can you? Did you feel that? You did. There's a flow. Do you hear me? And God has been talking to me so much about flow. He's been talking to me about how his kingdom operates in flow. And when there's a flow, it says, sometimes you don't know where it's coming from, you don't know, but yet it's happening. And that is the way the Holy Spirit is. That's the way he is in your life. You got no idea what he's got for you. Can I tell you that again? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says this, he says, forgot. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm sorry. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Man, I say this so much and I can't believe I don't remember it. As is written, eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither has entered in the heart of the man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. You've got no idea. So is the flow of the Spirit. That's the way it is. God might tell you something today to go do. God might do something for you today that you never expected. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into your heart the things that God has prepared for you. It's already there. But he wants to bring it to you, and it comes through a flow. You understand that? That's what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about this flow. It's the Spirit. Whether it be a flow of water or a flow of air, it is a flow. And God's kingdom operates in flow. It flows from the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and into his ministers. And that's how it works within the kingdom. And if you, and it is so different that today, listen to me, today you could be in Safeway and crack a smile at somebody that's being a jerk, right? You just go, hey, it's okay. And then they go, oh, I'm sorry, it was a jerk. And they, whatever. All of a sudden, this flow begins to happen, and you begin to minister. You begin to speak into their life. You begin to tell them how much God loves you. You begin, the Holy Spirit, you don't know what he's going to do. Just get out there and begin to walk in it and say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Open your mouth. Smile at somebody. How many of you walk around with a mad look in Safeway? I hope not. Smile at somebody. Talk to somebody. Just open up a word to them and see what God does. You watch. God is telling me. He's telling me, folks. This is my kingdom. This is how it will operate. It will operate in a flow. Don't pick and choose your victim. Come on, man. Just say, God, I'll talk to anybody. I'll talk to anybody. We had a brother show up on a Harley the other day on Saturday. Is that right? Showed up on and I didn't recognize him because he has a helmet on. All I know is on a Harley, kind of biker-looking guy, had beard hanging out. Is that right? The guy said, yeah, he pulled in and he left, and now he's back. I said, oh, man, we got some biker hanging out. Pulls his helmet out. Hey, it's Joey, man. He was, it was a good brother that had gone to the men's retreat with us. Hey, be ready to open up your heart to allow God to flow through you into those around you. God's kingdom operates in flow. It doesn't operate in structure. Pastor John doesn't have to be there for you to minister. You just minister. You are the ministers of God. Do you know that? Thank you. You are. Thank you for being the ministers of the Lord. Would you stand? Hallelujah. I knew this was going to be long. I was telling the Lord, I need to shorten this thing up. But God was saying, no, no, no. They need to know the difference. They need to know. They need to know that my kingdom operates in the Spirit. There are churches out there that resist and resist and resist the Spirit of God. Can I tell you this morning that those churches are presenting themselves in a place that they're actually beginning in this day and age today. They will begin to dwindle because they are not listening to what the Holy Spirit has to say. They're shielded from the Holy Spirit because of a teaching, whatever. And the fact of the matter is, God is saying, my people will be led by my Spirit. Just as Moses' guys got filled with the Spirit, God says, I need my people filled with the Spirit that my kingdom might be exposed in the earth today. And it's more than what we can even imagine. I can't even imagine it. But can you imagine? Can you imagine an earth? Can you imagine a place where the lion lays down with the lamb? Can you imagine a place where they take our weapons of war and beat them into tools for agriculture? Pruning hooks? Can you imagine where there would be no more war? Folks, I'm going to tell you, I think God's just about had enough of man doing it the way they want to do it. I think he said, it's time. It's time. I got one more scripture I'm going to give you, and then I want you to hear this. This is what Daniel said. Daniel chapter 7, verses 21 and 22. This is what he says. I beheld, this is what Daniel, I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Can I tell you that this enemy has torn the body of Christ, has kept the body of Christ in pieces? How many know that? And he prevailed against them. How did he prevail against them? Because to this day, I can't go up to a church in, over here and pray out in front and pray in the tongues because I get run off. Because they don't want that. We don't need that stuff over here. We don't need that mumbo jumbo. I'm going to tell you, it's not mumbo jumbo. It is the power of God. Hallelujah. And the enemy has done that. Do you realize it's not God doing that? It's the enemy has convinced men that this is not right. When he says, I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. And then he says, until the ancient of days came. And then he says, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And then it says this, I like this. How many of you know that time is important to us? Is that right? How many ever said this? Well, time will tell. Time will tell. Time will tell. Folks, it's time. It's time that it is now. My son was telling me about this. He goes, Dad, don't you think it's not time that tells? Don't you think it's time that we, just as those guys prophesied, that we tell time? This is what's going to happen. This is what Daniel did right here. He says, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. It's time that we possess this kingdom. This is the kingdom of God. And God said, I'm opening it up, and it's going to operate and flow. Whether you like it or not, flow's coming to your heart. Come on, man. And God's going to flow through you to minister to those that are around you. Because God does love the lost. He does love those that are out there that we think that they, you know, hey, they're lost. No, man. God says, no, they're not. Open your mouth, and I will fill it with the anointing of God. Do you say amen to that? Father, we thank you for your word this morning. God, I'm asking you, Lord, you would, Father God, fill us, Lord. Fill us, Lord, once again with your spirit. Lord, cause us, Lord, hallelujah, to operate in the flow that you have designed for the kingdom of God. Father, I thank you for it, and I praise you for it, God. Hallelujah. Your word says this, Father, out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water, God. So allow that to happen to us, Father. I'm asking you, Father God, that you would touch your children this week, even as they open the Word of God, Lord, that they would, Father God, sense that flow that you have for them for that day. In the name of Jesus, I pray. If you agree, say amen. Hallelujah. Shake somebody's hand.